So last week we began talking about being thankful. And I know everybody's first thought is, hey, it's coming up on Thanksgiving, but it's not there yet. So you're talking about this early. Yes, we're going Wednesday nights. We're going to look a little bit about being thankful, how to be thankful. And I tell you, last Wednesday night, we had a number of people after church just talk about how the Lord really spoke their hearts about being thankful all the time. And so don't tune out again. Like I said last week, I know the Lord worked on some people's hearts. He worked on my heart. And tonight we're going to look at it from a different angle, one that I've never, ever approached it, one that just recently that God kind of worked on my heart as I've been listening and studying and working through these things. But we're going to start off talking about the goodness of God for a minute. The goodness of God. We talk about the goodness of God a lot, and that's because he's really, really good. Psalms 107 is one of those spots where if you learn one verse in the Bible, you learn four. So if you're ever you're in a memory competition of who's going to learn the most verses in the Bible, and they do have those things, more for young people than older people, but there's the exact same verse written four times in Psalms 107. And it's found in verse number 8, verse number 15, verse number 21, and verse 31. And there is an emphasis that's placed here. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, they give a description here. Most commentators believe this is when they're leaving and going back to Israel after the captivity, and that this is something they're just praising him for, and they're praising him for. And the reality is, if we would learn to praise the Lord for his goodness, and if we would learn to for his wonderful works to the children of men, it would save us a lot of heartache. It would save us a lot of grief. We think about it. David said this: I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he says, look, I would have fainted. I would have given up. I would have thrown in the towel if I did not know the goodness of the Lord. And and I've preached on that message before. You ready to throw in the towel? Remember how good God is. Remember, if you feel like you're ready to faint and feel like you're overwhelmed, remember the goodness of the Lord. But in this passage here in Psalms 107, it says at four different times, it shows four different things. It's talking about at the beginning, especially a wandering time, and just saying, if men would learn to praise the Lord, it says it over and over and over four different times in the same passage, because there's a key here. There's a key here that now you can take your Bibles to Romans chapter number 2. There's a key here that God's convicted my heart about and helped me have some understanding here. It's a principle I understood and have understood for a long time, but it just kind of brings it together. Romans chapter number 2, verse number 4. The book of Romans, chapter number 2, verse number 4. Now, in the context, it's referring to those that are being hypocritical. In the context, it's different breaking apart. And in Romans chapter number 2, when I was reading through it this morning, I went towards the end. And maybe we'll start off there just because it kind of puts things in perspective. Look at what it says, Romans chapter 2. Look what it says in verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew and retest in the law and makest thy boast of God. So someone, I'm a Jew, they're proud of it, they believe in the law. You think about a Pharisee, someone who's in their mind, they're high, they're holy, they're mighty. And then you see in verse number 18, and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. It says, and art confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness. It's the group of people that would say, I can help other people. I got things figured out. I'm walking with the Lord. I can turn around and I can give a person and I can say, hey, guess what? I can help someone who's struggling. I can help someone who's a guide to the blind, a light to them which are in darkness. And he says, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which have the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. But then he begins to talk about the hypocritical life they're living. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. You've learned this. You're teaching what should be said. That thou preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery. Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. And that's a really challenging. We're not preaching this because it just puts things in a little bit better perspective of who he's talking to here. And we come to this moment and they're saying, look, you're telling people to not do this, but you're doing it behind closed doors. He said, Pastor, I would never do that. You should try preaching the word of God regularly to people. And sometimes he's like, we all should live a holy life. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, because that's my goal. That's the scripture. That's the Bible. But as a preacher, I'm not always there. And I think we'd all realize that. So it's not being hypocritical in this preaching the word of God, but it's saying one thing and then living a different life behind closed doors and knowing you're going to do that. And he said, that's a challenge here. Sort of like last week. What was that challenge that really spoke to my heart? Would you consider yourself a thankful person? I think most people in the room says, yeah, of course I'm thankful. How often today did you say you were thankful to God? And when I thought about that, I was like, wow, wait, let me think about it. And obviously I had my private time with the Lord and there is a time of praise, but that is something that is registered. That's something that I'm doing on purpose for a reason because I want to be thankful. I want to understand the goodness of the Lord. But throughout the day, how many times did I really talk about God's goodness? How many times did I really praise the Lord? How many times did I stop and just say, God, I don't want anything. I just want to say thank you. Most people in this room are old enough to have children or grandchildren. Some of you may be great-grandchildren. And you know, sometimes you get phone calls. You know, I've had two sons that have gone, one's gone all the way through college. The other one's a junior in college. And when they call, lots of times, most parents, you watch TV shows, they're calling for one reason or two reasons. Number one, they got in trouble. Or number two, they need money or they need something. You know how reassuring, how encouraging it is? Hey, mom, hey, dad, don't need anything. Just want to say thank you. Just want to say I love you. And I know that happens, and it's an encouraging thing. But, I mean, when I'm encouraged when Andrew does that, and Andrew's not a good one to tell me when he needs something. So Andrew rather gets kind of keep it to himself and try to work through it himself. And Christian was similar, too. They very rarely ever asked for anything, but they would call often. It's because we would kill them if they didn't. But they would call often. And sometimes people have problems. You know, my children never text. My children never call. Well, Christian and Andrew both did. And many times it wasn't because they needed something. Now, obviously, sometimes maybe they had gotten a bad grade on a paper. Or I knew sometimes when they call, I can tell by their voice, okay, what's going on? But that was very, very minimum. They actually called just because they cared. Or that, or we told them over and over, hey, make sure you call. Make sure, you know. And that's when we come to God, it's like we ask. But how often do we just stop and say, God, thank you? And so that was challenging last week. And so let's think about that. Last week we said that on Wednesday night. I know a number of you came out and said, I was convicted about that. I want to be more thankful. I want to be more grateful. I want to say more. So you've had a week. Did it change your life? Did you start thanking him more? Did you start praising him more? Because when God convicts our heart about something, it's not just to say, hey, preacher did a good job, or God really spoke to me here. It's to change our lives. The word of God is supposed to be something we take in. And if we know it's right and we know it's true, we're supposed to let it change us. It's not just to be heard and say, hey, that was good. Last night, me and Brother Frank went to Emmanuel Baptist Church in Edenton and heard a guy named Brother Tripp. Trip. Am I saying that right? Trip. And he did a good job. He did a really good job with his preaching. And then we talked a little bit about it on the way home. And I took some things that I learned and I applied it to my life today. It wasn't just the fact that the guy did a good job preaching and I was there. And no, that's what the word of God's supposed to do. You're supposed to take it in. You're supposed to take it in. It's not just something that we just come to hear. It's something we're supposed to apply to our lives. Here in this story, this is talking about a group of people who is really struggling. And they're actually, in that verse number 23, thou that makest thy boast the law through the breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. Verse 24 is just really powerful in my mind. It says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Many times we feel like we can live what we want. We're not hurting anybody. Everybody's fine. Everybody's good. It's not that big of a deal. Who are we really harming? But it's saying, hey, you're living a life saying, hey, I'm good. I can help people. I can help these that are blind and those that are foolish and those that are babes and those. But God's saying, if you say one thing and you do something different, you're giving a chance for his name to be blasphemed. I don't want that. I don't want God. I don't want to give the Gentiles. Now, they're using the word Gentiles here, but in reference to us, I don't want to give the unsaved any type of ammunition that says, hey, they're blaspheming. It's because he says one thing, he does something else. And once again, none of us are perfect. And sometimes that might happen every once in a while. And I understand that. That does not mean that nobody ever teaches and nobody ever tries and nobody ever disciples. No, what that means is we need to make sure that we're what we say we live and how we live, and we continue to live that way. And yes, the things that we're reaching for, if we explain to people, like the Apostle Paul did, you know, the things I would do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, the things, that's what I do. There is an internal battle and a struggle that's there. But let's be honest. Let's be sincere. Let's be working towards it. And when we tell people, hey, I know I haven't arrived and I'm working towards this, but this is what God's word says, and lead people by saying and being sincere and not try to say, well, look at me. I'm perfect. I'm good. I don't have anything wrong. No, let's be honest and sincere. So what does all this have to do with thankfulness? Let's go back to verse number 4. Verse number 4, we come to a verse that truly convicted my heart and helped me understand some important things. And I'm hoping I can get it across in a way that will bring understanding and that will be helpful to you too. Look what it says here in verse number 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Let's look at that again. It says, not the end of the verse, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So last week we talked to you the importance of praising people, praising the Lord, excuse me, and the importance of being involved with that. And here this verse this week, it tells us something. If we will focus on the goodness of God, it's going to lead us somewhere. Now, we talked about the goodness of God, how it helped us not faint. We talked about how the goodness of God helps us to worship. But this is actually saying, if we consider the goodness of God, it will actually lead us to a spot where we will repent, that we will have a change of heart and a change of mind concerning something. We will look at our sin and say, I don't want that sin. I want God. Now, I know some people use this as an idea for salvation. When we explain to people, look, you're lost, you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell, your sin has, you have a wage, you have a penalty of your sin, and then you talk, this is the goodness of God. For God so loved the world, God commendeth his love toward us, you know, and then he brings in salvation, brings all those things combined, that we see the goodness of God, what God did for us for salvation, and that how we were sinners, we are lost, and headed to a horrible place called hell, and Jesus died for us, and we see that, we understand that, that leads us. It doesn't mean he forces us, it doesn't mean he drives us, that leads us to repentance when we see and we believe and by faith receive and accept the gift of eternal life. But this principle here is also referring, it can be very applicable, and also even in the context, is that the goodness of God should cause you to realize that there are some things in my life that I want to change. There's some things I want to do. When I think about our theme for this year about being blessed, I knew there was going to be times when we talked about being thankful. It wasn't really in the preaching schedule to be for a 4 or 5 week type plan, but I think it ties in just fine. We could talk about the blessings of God so much and how great and blessed we are of all spiritual blessings. And we're going to look at that in Ephesians 1 some point in time this year. But we have so much, I mean, so much to praise him for, and so much to be thankful for. But if we lose that God is good, if we lose what God has done for us, we get to a very dangerous place. It's a dangerous place to be. If we forget about the goodness of God, if we forget about praising God, when we stop focusing on the goodness of God, it leads us to a very, very dangerous place. When we begin to be ungrateful for God's goodness, it will always lead to evil. When we fail to realize how good God has been to us, then we're in a garden where there's many wicked thoughts and many wicked things that begin to grow. So what do you mean? Well, you think about it. Now, sometimes we hurt people we probably don't do it on purpose, but think about someone who loves you. Maybe consider the person who you believe has loved you the most. Let's take the husbands and wives off the table because, you know, obviously they have, but maybe it's a mom, a dad, a teacher, someone who was really, really good to you and did wonderful things to you, for you, and they helped mold and make you into the individual, at least the individual that you desire to be or you think that God wants you to be. Now, would you on purpose hurt that person? I mean, on purpose, would you turn around and do something that's going to damage them? Would you do something that would stab them in the back? Would you do something that's going to harm them? The answer is no. It's because we care so much about them. Now, you think about it, with my mom, I love my mom. I regret growing up. I said a lot of things. I did a lot of things that weren't the nicest. I was a smart aleck. My mom says I'm too hard on myself, but what I remember, I wasn't. And I wouldn't want to do anything that's going to harm my mom today because of how good she's been to me. And if I remember that, now, as my mom gets older, she's a little bit more needier. Of course, that's what happens. She forgets things. And sometimes when you're around her, and she might be watching tonight, so hi, Mom. She watches often, and it's the idea sometimes when people get older, they become a little bit needier, and sometimes they don't realize they become a little needier, and they can be a little bit of a burden. We went to my niece's wedding, and my parents came to our house, and we traveled to my niece's wedding together, and we traveled back. And you know what? I really enjoyed that. It was a blessing to be around them because I don't get to see them very often. But they do move a little slower. They do have different needs that are there. And it's there. But I enjoyed trying to be a blessing to them because of the fact that how good they've been to me. Now, that's just a minute just example of, you know, God has been so good to me that when I do something to harm him, it's devastating. I mean, if you focus, like I said, it would be easy if I focus on my mom being forgetful. And she said, well, you're talking about, my mom would tell you she's forgetful. If I forgot about my mom's, if I focus on my mom's forgetfulness or my mom's frailty or my mom's needing help here or needing help there and all those different things, if I focus on all those things, you know what? I could definitely forget very quickly how good she's been to me. And when I focus on all those other things, you know what's going to happen? I might not treat her the way that she deserves to be treated based off the fact, number one, God tells us to, but also number two, how good she's been to me in the past. But when I begin focusing on the wrong things, you know what happens? Sometimes it's much easier to turn around and say, hey, it's okay if I don't spend time with my mom. She's getting older. She's not going to remember anyway. But that's the whole point, is if it's saying here, if we will focus on the goodness of the Lord, it's going to lead us to something. It's going to bring us somewhere. I truly believe that gratitude will help a person get right with God. When we take a full good look image at who God is, as Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, he says, woe is me. He says, I'm a person of undone lips, all those different things. He repents. He wants to get things right. And at the end, what is he? He's on his face saying, Lord, here am I. Send me, send me. Why would he do that? Because he saw God. He realized how good. He was reminded of God's goodness. He was reminded of God's power. He was reminded who God is. And we come to this moment that if it will help us get right with God. But I truly believe with all my heart, if you want to stay right with God, focus on the goodness of God. Say, Pastor, I never really heard that before. But think about it. If you're considering all he's done for you, all the love he showed you, that he died on the cross for you, and he did all those things for you, then are you really going to turn around and do whatever it is that you please? In the face of a holy, loving God that died for your sins and did all those wonderful things for you. You think about Isaac Watts, when he wrote about when I survey the wondrous cross, he says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and I pour contempt on my pride, pour contempt on all my pride. When I get to the cross and I see the cross and I realize what he did for me, what is it at that moment in time am I going to say, God, I don't care about what you did for me. I'm going to go do whatever I want. is we lose the goodness of God and we forget the goodness of God and we get focused on the distractions of this world and this person hurt me and this person said this and the world's going crazy over here and this over here is happening and my family isn't doing what they're supposed to do. And we get all these things that are happening that we forget about the goodness of God. We forget that Jesus went to that cross and he died on that cross. And as we walk past Calvary every day, we see the sacrifice he made for us. All we can say is, Lord, just I want to pour contempt on all my pride. I don't want any of this. I see what you did for me. I don't want the sin. I don't want the garbage. I don't want all the things that the devil is trying to rule and reign my life with. I see everything you've done for me, and I am so thankful for what you've done for me because you've been so good to me. I would not want to do anything that's going to harm you. And when we focus on, and there's plenty to focus on, but same thing, if there's people in your life today that have done things for you that are kind and good, there are some people in this world that I wouldn't do anything in this world to harm them. If someone told me something bad about them, I would not believe it until I heard it for myself from them or I sat there and looked at it because, and I understood it. It's because they have been so good to me. They've been good to my family and they've been good to our church and other things like that. And there's just people there that if anything, I wouldn't want to do something to harm that. And there's some of these people that are sitting in this room that I feel that way about many of you. And it's like, I won't want to do anything that's going to harm them or hurt them. Why is that? Because they've been good. God has been so good to you today. And we cannot forget about the goodness of God because when we forget about the goodness of God, it puts us in a dangerous spot. When we start thinking about the things of this world, when we start thinking about the desires of this world, when we start feeling the pulls of this world, when we start having the desires of this world, you know what? Flesh is good for a season. Sin is good for your flesh for a season. And there is something that's enjoyable in sin. But when we consider the goodness of God and realize God only loves me, God only wants what's best for me, God is gracious, God is kind, God's done all these things. I do not want anything that this world gives me because of how good he's been to me. But how many times have we been hurt by someone we've been good to? Oh, how many times has our heart been broken and we've poured our life into someone? And you, just for them to turn around and stab you in the back. Oh boy, it hurts. And don't get me wrong, we serve for God's sake. We serve for the Lord. And when somebody harms you, you're still so, you love them and you treat them the way the Bible tells you. But you consider that you never would have thought that person would have harmed you because of how much love you showed them, how much love you demonstrated to them. And it's this principle. If they would have remembered the good things, if they would remember how much I did for them, would they have been able to do that horrible thing to me? Now, there was something they forgot. They forgot that person loved me. And like I said, looking back over the years with my mom, even sometimes with my wife, when I sit there and think about all the wonderful things my wife does for me, all the blessings she is, you know, there are some things that in myself, I have shortcomings. You might not believe it. She has one or two or three. But I mean, she's a great blessing. But if I focus on the shortcomings, you know what could happen? What could happen is, you know, divorce happens. Divorce happens all across America. Why does that happen all across America? And I know sometimes there's situations where there's abuse or there's sometimes, you know, there's, but many times is because people have forgotten the goodness. There was a time when they were in love. There was a time when there was a need that was there. And you know what happened? They stopped forgetting and they started seeing all the bad things. And when they got focused off of the goodness of the relationship and all the good things that happened and what brought them to that marriage altar many times and made that commitment before God, the goodness of God will lead you somewhere. It will lead you to the spot that you do not want to sin against God. When you get before the Lord and you praise the Lord and you just remember his goodness, remember what he's done for you. Remember that you were on your way to hell and now you're on your way to heaven. Remember the fact that he loves you so much that he's allowed you to be here and you can still breathe and we can see and we can touch and we can feel and we can walk. And we have, many of us have our own vehicles and many of us have houses and many of us have this and many of us have that. And we have so much to praise him for and so much to thank him for. And that doesn't even scratch the surface of the spiritual blessings we have when it comes to the Holy Spirit of God, when it comes to the praying, when it comes to the riches that he has for us, and the idea of the blessings he has. We've been blessed so much with so many things. How in the world can we turn around and do something right in the face of God? It's because we stop thinking about how good he's been to us. So if we truly want to understand what it looks like to be thankful, we must learn to be thankful for him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. As it said in Psalms 107, four different times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So what's the principle tonight? When we forget how good God has been, and how much he has put up with us, and how patient he has been with us, we are in a very dangerous position. I mentioned to you, my wife might have a couple shortcomings. It's nothing compared to my shortcomings. When I sometimes get a little bit disappointed with maybe something she might say or do, the only thing I gotta remember is how much she has to put up with me. I mean, all the different things I do, all the different things. There's many times when they're with the ministry, there's a lot of different things she faces. There's people who don't treat her very nicely. I know that happens to everybody sometimes. There are times when we have things scheduled and planned, and there's ministry that needs to happen, and she's, whatever you need to do, that's the Lord's word. And she puts up a lot when it comes to me. And if I ever start getting a little discouraged, man, I wish she was a little bit different, and I just think, man, she puts up with me. I should be really thankful for that. We think about how much God has been gracious and kind and merciful and long-suffering with you. And you know what? Sometimes we still get sin right in the face of God, and it doesn't bother us a bit. But if we will remember the goodness of God, I was talking to somebody recently about Hosea and Gomer and the story of Hosea and Gomer, how God told this prophet to marry a prostitute, and they had some children that were together, and this woman went a whoring and went being a prostitute once again and left her husband, and then she got to the point where she was being sold on the slave market, and Hosea went and bought her back and let her come back into the family and let her treat her as if it had never happened and treat her as his wife. And I mean, that story is so inspirational, and we're thinking, I can never do that. That's ridiculous to think that someone would expect them to get remarried. There's no way I would ever do that. If my wife did that or my husband, and then I said to the individual, that's what we do to God every single time when we commit spiritual adultery. When our hearts go after something else and we go a whoring after someone else. And these are Bible words from the book of Jeremiah. I think it's chapter number 3, when it talks about a whoring and spiritual adultery, all those different things. When we love something else more than we love God, and we get sit there right in the face of God, we'll do something. We got to get to the moment and spot where we care that God sees what we're doing. Because we would not do certain things in front of our wives. We would not do certain things in front of our husbands. There are certain things I would not do in front of my mom and dad. But I have sometimes in the past had no problem doing it in private. Because the only person that was seeing me was God. And I got to get back to this spot in my life that I'm truly going to be thankful. I got to remember the goodness of God, and that he's been patient with me. He's been kind with me. He's done all these things for me. How can I do this in his presence? It will lead me to repentance. It will make me sick of my sin. Will I enjoy the temptation? Will I enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season? Of course, there's pleasure in it. But we must learn to get sick of the sin. And that's where it says the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. When you see how good God is, it is super hard to get up from that and continue to live in your sin because he's been so good to you. If we truly want a thankful and grateful heart, believe it begins here. It's learning to praise the Lord for how good he is. Because we can get to a spot where it doesn't bother us anymore. How many of us have something in our life right now that we know we should get right, but I just can't. It's too hard. It's too tough. I'm struggling with that. You're doing it before a God that was loving and kind to you and was generous and has been patient with you. As much as my wife has put up with me, God has put up with me so much more. And you know what? He still loves me. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible. I'm still on my way to heaven. And when I look at that and I come to this, if I really truly want to understand what it is that is how to be thankful, I must remember to be thankful for who he is. Because as I remember the goodness of the Lord, yes, it's going to help me not faint. When I remember the goodness of the Lord, yes, it's going to help me to do the work he's called me to do. But it's going to help me to lead me to not only be right with God, but to stay right with God. And when we can live in sin and continue to live in sin, we have forgotten the goodness of God. And we have just looked at him and said, I don't care what you see. I don't care how you feel. I'm going to do this sin because I love this sin more than I love you. And I know some people, well, I fall in divers temptation. That's fine. But at the same time, most of us struggle with the same thing over and over and over again. And we get to that dangerous spot where we say, I guess enjoy it too much. We get to a spot and say, my flesh needs this. I don't care if it hurts God. You know what we're forgetting? We're forgetting how good he's been to us. We're forgetting what he has done for us. Has your heart ever been smote because of the fact that you're harming someone that's been good to you? It's been to me. There's sometimes when I look at my days and I look at my weeks and I look at my years and I look back on the ministry and I think, you know what? I need to do more. I need to do more for the Lord. And my heart is smote, and I think, you know what? There's some way, I wish there was more hours in the day. Sometimes I've heard somebody say, I wish there was one more hour in the day. I heard somebody on Sunday say, I wish there was 24 more hours each day. And I said, you still wouldn't be able to get everything done because you'll get more things. And my heart was smote. There, all the opportunities we have, all the privileges we have, all the different blessings we have, and the Lord smote my heart before and said, you know, We need to do more. We need to reach the lost. There's something we must do. Do you want to finish this life with having a bunch of things, or do you want to finish this life serving God? I mean, what are we going to take up to heaven with us? What's going to be? We're not taking only the things we've pushed on ahead of time. Something better than going to heaven is taking somebody with you. Is a song that I know Brother Jim likes and singing in the choir and things like that. So. When we forget the goodness of God will lead us to repentance. It doesn't drive a man to repentance. He seeks to lead a man to repentance. But how does he do that? He shows us his goodness. Have you ever been in a spot where you were kind of blessed and you said, God, I didn't really deserve that. And then the Holy Spirit says, you don't deserve any of this. You don't deserve what you have. Everything we have and everything you get, it's been a gift from God. And if you'll learn that, yes, I don't deserve it. It's because of the goodness of God. I am where I am and who I am. And I know some people are like, no, I've made myself. And no, the only reason why you're able to breathe is because God gives you air to breathe. And I know sometimes children hurt parents because why? They forget everything that their parent has done for them. And they turn around and says, this might hurt my mom or dad, but I just don't really care right now. And that hurts us sometimes. And we see that and we understand that. But it's because they forgot the goodness that their parents have been. Now, no, don't get me wrong. Parents aren't always good. Parents make mistakes. My parents made mistakes. Me as a parent has made mistakes. You know, I understand that. But sometimes we see that a child or a grandchild will hurt the heart of someone who has loved them and poured themselves into them. And it doesn't even matter. It's because they forgot how good that they've been. It's like, what have you done for me lately type thought. I can live this life without you. And then when we forget that and we treat God like that, we get to a dangerous spot. Because no longer are we being repentant for our sins. Instead, we're willing to live with our sins. And boy, that's a dangerous spot to be at. When we learn to stop being thankful for who God is, we will forget so many more things. And that's when you see people go down so far down a path that you wonder what in the world they're going to. Well, you think about the prodigal son. You got the prodigal son there, right? He's there. He's in the hog pen. What does he remember? He remembers how good his father was. He didn't care about the father when he left. And once again, back then, that was a shameful thing for him to leave the way he did. And the way he left his father says, I don't trust my father to take care of me, according to that, the way that things were back then. He goes out to the hog pen. He faces the world. The world treats him bad. He's sitting in the hog pen. What does he remember? He remembers there's a father and he remembers the resources of the father. He remembers that his father, he says, I guess that's how, that's, he's been good to me. Because he's been good to me, I can return. When you focus on the goodness, if he would have focused on the goodness instead of the thrills of the world, instead of what the far country has to offer, if he would have, I guess, focused on the goodness of the Father to begin with, he would have said, I have safety with the Father. I have a life with the Father, and I have everything I need with the Father. And when we see God for who he is and how good he's been, it will cause us to want to stay right. And when we wander away and we begin to focus on the goodness of God, you know what it's going to do? It's going to lead us to that repentance and say, I need to return home to my Father. I don't deserve to be a son anymore. I'll be called a servant. He'll do whatever he wants to me, but I can trust him because he's good, and I'm trusting in him because of his goodness. That's what the goodness of God does. Focus and dwell on the goodness of God. It will help you get right, or it will help you stay right. Go ahead and take your Bible to Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, we most of us would know that chapter in the Bible because it's a repentive type psalm that David wrote over his sin with Bathsheba. And when you see this psalm, it's there, and it says, and it's a psalm when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And where does he start with? He starts with God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He came to the spot and he says, God, based off your goodness, I want you to forgive me. And he boils it all down to verse number 4. Look what it says in verse number 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And you see that verse there, and you're thinking, wait, he sinned against Uriah. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against Ahithophel, we heard with Brother McBride. He sinned against so many people, against the baby. But he's saying, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Now, why in the world would he say that? It's because he understood something. He forgot the goodness of God. God had been so good to him over these years. He should have been out fighting the battle, but there was a moment in time in his life that he forgot about the goodness of God, and that God had done all these things for him, that this love and this goodness, it should constrain us, and we're going to talk about that in a second, to continue on moving on. But instead, he says, there's something I want in this life more than I want God, and even if God sees me do it, I don't care. He forgot that he's in the presence of God. But when we consider the goodness of God, it's sort of like Joseph. We remember Joseph. What did he tell Potiphar's wife? He says, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He says, I cannot do this sin to God. Why would Joseph care? Joseph's in slavery at Potiphar's house. Why would he care? It's because he knew about the goodness of God. He believed in the goodness of God. He says, I cannot do this to my God. It's because he's been so good to me and because he's loved me. I can't do this. So if we're going to consider what the thankfulness looks like and really get to the point where we can be thankful in all things and for everything, all times, for everything, we got to remember, this is something we have to drill in our mind. God is good in every situation. God has always been good. God will always be good. And God can work all things together for good. And when I sin, first and foremost, I sin against God. And God is someone who's been good to me. And it is very easy to look at somebody and says, you were not good to me. I can treat you whatever way I want. But can you do that to God? You cannot look to God and say, you haven't been good to me. I can do whatever I want. You have to say to God, no matter how good you've been to me, I'm going to harm you. And we see that. And our hearts are broken when we see you've been so good to this person. You've been so good to this group. You've done all these things. And for them to harm you, it breaks your heart. And then when God sometimes smotes her heart, and there's been times in my life when I've done something wrong, and maybe I've treated my wife or my sons wrong or treated somebody else wrong, and God smote at my heart and be like, they've been so good to you. How could you ever talk to them like that? They've been so good to you. How in the world could you ever lie to them? They've been so good to you. Why in the world would you act like that? Or why would you say that about them when they've been so good to you? And God has smote my heart before because I didn't, when I was saying those things or when I was acting that way, I wasn't considering how good they've been to me. Instead, I was considering the moment and the time. And I know that's a human illustration, but it's the best illustration I know because it's something we can all identify with. But imagine how much it is more to God when he has been nothing but good to us. There is no shortcomings. There is never, he's done this to me and he's done that to me. I have the right to treat him like that. But instead, when I remember that he's been good and I consider how good he's been to me, it's going to lead me to repentance. So, and like I said, I think truly with it comes to being thankful, we got to get to the person we need to be thankful for to and for the most. Because he will teach us how to be thankful in all things and at all times. Because we won't learn that by just being thankful for people and being thankful for things. People will fail you. People will disappoint you. People will stab you in the back. People will have misunderstandings. People will have shortcomings. But when we learn about the goodness of God, it's going to bring us to that spot that I hate my sin. I don't want my sin. I'm tired of my sin. Even though I might enjoy my sin, yes, you may enjoy your sin. It is something that I do not like what it's done before me, before my God. And I want to care. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And what he died, and when that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but in him which died for them and rose again. I read that kind of quickly, but think about this. For the love of Christ, the goodness of God, the love of Christ constraineth us. It's what motivates us, it's what pushes us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If Jesus died for one, we're all dead. We all had need. Now listen, and that he died for all, that they which live, talking about the believers, should not henceforth live unto themselves, which means I should not be living for me, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He's saying we're not supposed to be living for us. We're not supposed to be living for me. We're supposed to be living for the person that has been so good to us, who died and rose again. That's it. It's the goodness of God. It's constraining us to do what's right. It's the goodness of God that will cause us to stay right and it will cause us to get right. And I know last week when we talked about thankful, God smote at my heart about it. But this is the next step. This is the next phase of it. Be thankful for the goodness of God, because if you can get the goodness of God down, if you can get praising God down, if you can get the fact that he's always merciful and that he's always kind and that he's gracious and that he's holy and that he's just, and you can get that down, you know what's going to happen? It's going to cause you to be right. It's going to cause you to get right. It's going to cause you to stay right when you dwell in the goodness of God. Those verses are saying, because of all God has done for you, we ought to live for him. It reminds me of Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the goodness of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So tonight, I want to encourage you. Get alone with God. Spend some time alone with him. And just begin to meditate on how good God is. Be thankful for how good God is. So we're going to do a little different tonight, like we did last week, a little bit different. We're going to do a little bit different. And the idea that instead of having invitation time, I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to just privately sit alone and be thinking about the goodness of God. And inside these 3 minutes, as you're thinking about the goodness of God, write down something you're thankful for about God. I know many of you wrote that last week, thank you for my salvation, but think about his mercy, his grace, his holiness. And if you want to turn him in like we did last week, we can read him again. Or think about something that he's held back from you, that he's been merciful to you. Or maybe something he's been gracious with you about. Think about all those different things. And write down something that you just want to praise the Lord for you about how good he's been. He's given me a mind to think with. Not everybody has that. My little brother doesn't have a mind that thinks like everybody else. He's given us eyes to be able to see. But there's a lot of things. I want you to take about 3 minutes and just think. You can eyes open, eyes closed, whatever you want to do. But this is our invitation time. There's not going to be music. There's not going to be any singing. But I just want to take a few moments to get started. And during these few moments, it'd be a great time to say, Lord, help me to live in your goodness. Help me to always see your goodness. In about 3 minutes, going to come up and we're going to close in a word of prayer. And then we're going to have our missionary letter. And then we're going to have our prayer requests. And if you want to write down one of the things that you're thankful for, it doesn't matter if you repeat it. We did this past week when with our men's prayer meeting. We had seven of us there or eight of us there. And two people repeated the same thing. But if we can learn to be looking for the good things, it's not hard to find. Be looking for things to praise the Lord about. It's going to help lead you to repentance. Either it will stay right, be right, it will get you right. So let's take these about 3 minutes and I'll come up and close this in prayer.